Good afternoon, brothers and sisters, boys and girls. It is a great blessing that we may be here again this afternoon to join together in worship of our Almighty God. We extend a warm welcome to all who are present here and to all those who have joined us here via the live stream this afternoon. May the preaching of the gospel draw us near to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and cause us to live our lives in thankfulness to Him. Consistory has the following announcements. Next week, Sunday, we will, the Lord willing, celebrate the Lord's Supper in the morning service. And this afternoon, the service will be led by Brother Jack Ten Boer, one of our elders. Before we commence the worship service, let us sing together hymn 46, verse 4.
Receive the greeting of the Lord. And we first humbly confess that our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Amen. God greets you. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's sing from the psalm where we have our confession of dependence on the Lord, Psalm 124. And after that, let's remain standing and profess our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed by singing hymn 1.
Amen.
Service. Merciful Lord, we do come before you humbly to thank you that we can confess that our help comes from you, that we are totally dependent on your grace and favour. We do that humbly. We also do it confidently, Lord, because you are our Father, through Jesus Christ. And we know that when we call on you in your name and in the name of your Son, you do hear us and you do bless us. Thank you that we can have that confidence. Thank you that we may know you, that we may indeed come before you this afternoon too, eager to hear from you. And so we pray that you will bless us this afternoon, that you will receive our songs of praise, that you will hear our prayer, accept the gifts that we offer, and that you will speak to us from your word. Help us to submit to your word, to listen, to be encouraged, to be strengthened. Lord, we pray that you are with us through your Spirit in our very hearts. And so we pray, Lord, that you wash away our sins, that you protect us this afternoon too from sin and distraction, that you look on us in mercy and kindness. For Jesus' sake, amen. This afternoon we are looking at our articles of the Christian faith, particularly the first article about God our Father. And the sermon I will read to you is from Reverend Reuben Breedenhoff. And he's chosen as he's reading, first of all, Psalm 33. And after that we'll turn to the New Testament, to the first epistle to Timothy. First of all, from Psalm 33. Shout for joy in the Lord, O you righteous. Praise befits the upright. Give thanks to the Lord with the lyre. Make melody to him with the harp of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully on the strings with loud shouts. For the word of the Lord is upright. and all his work is done in faithfulness. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the steadfast love of the Lord. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth, all their host. He gathers the waters of the sea as a heap. He puts the deep in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He frustrates the plans of the peoples. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen as his heritage. The Lord looks down from heaven. He sees all the children of man. From where he sits enthroned, he looks out on all the inhabitants of the earth, he who fashions the hearts of them all and observes all their deeds. The king is not saved by his great army. A warrior is not delivered by his great strength. The war horse is a false hope for salvation, and by its great might it cannot rescue. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his steadfast love, that he may deliver their soul from death and keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield, for our heart is glad in him because we trust in his holy name. Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you. Turn then to first letter to Timothy, chapter 6. We'll read a section there from verse 6 through to 19. 1 Timothy 6 from verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and have pierced themselves with many pangs. But as for you, O man of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who is his testimony before Pontius Pilate, made the good confession, to keep the commandment unstained and free from reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will display at the proper time. He, who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light, who no one has ever seen or can see. To him be honour and eternal dominion. Amen. As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. Let's sing in response to God's word from Psalm 148. Verses 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Thank you.
afternoon, we focus on the Word of God, God the Father, as He revealed Himself to us, as the Church confesses this. And we'll turn to our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 9. Where the Catechism asks, what do you believe when you say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth? And gives this answer, that the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who out of nothing created heaven and earth and all that is in them, and who still upholds and governs them by his eternal counsel and providence, is, for the sake of Christ, his Son, my God and my Father. In him I trust so completely as to have no doubt that he will provide me with all things necessary for body and soul, and will also turn to my good whatever adversity he sends me in this life of sorrow. He is able to do so as Almighty God, and willing also as a faithful Father. Beloved in Christ, we make a simple confession at the beginning of every worship service. It comes from Psalm 124. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. That's in verse 8. Do you still notice these words? Sometimes, when we use a text like this over and over again, we don't pay attention anymore. Or we forget where it comes from and what it means. So we should know that Psalm 124 praises God after he delivered Israel from her enemies. It tells about a time when the enemies had attacked, their anger hot and their intentions evil. These foes threatened to swallow Israel alive. David says that they nearly swept God's people away. But God was on their side. He gave escape, and he saved them from harm. It is in response to this amazing grace, as an answer to God's love, that Israel makes this humble confession in Psalm 124. Our help is in the name of the Lord. That is who helped them. That is where rescue came from. And that is where they would continue to look for salvation. We echo that confession every Sunday, twice every Sunday, more than 100 times per year. There is a lot of comfort in those words, speaking of God as the one who made heaven and earth. But what does this mean? Why is it so immensely reassuring to know that God is the creator of all things? How can these words strengthen us? Let us then consider the first article of our confession in light of the Holy Scriptures. I preach to you Lord's Day 9 under this theme: God our Father created the heavens and the earth. We'll ask three questions: how, why, and therefore. God our Father created the heavens and the earth. How? Just how did God create the world? Did God directly create every different kind of plant and animal that we see today? Or did he use some other process like evolution? Can God still be called the creator if he guided the development of living things from the most basic to the most complex? And how quickly did God bring about this universe? Was it all really completed within six, roughly 24-hour days? Or did he use thousands or even millions of years? These are the kind of questions that come up when we deal with the topic of creation. In earlier centuries, many of these questions would not have been asked. There was little thought for the alternate ways in which the universe could have come about. Not that everyone believed in the God of the Bible, but if you did believe in God, you also believed in him as the creator. People tended to accept that that is who God is. He is creator and Lord of all. Those days are long over. The idea of a creator is rejected as a quaint idea from previous generations. It's like the people who still believe in a flat earth, or who believe that humans were around at the same time as dinosaurs. Instead, the university students among us will know how thoroughly the theory of evolution has been woven into so many subjects. Evolutionary thinking is central in the disciplines of human biology and history and psychology and so much else. That is because people always look for a grand explanation of where we came from. We want to know why we're here and where are we going. And the story of evolution is accepted as the story that explains our place in the universe. But there's a different account, a true account. Our place in this universe and our purpose for this life is revealed through the biblical truth that God is the creator. So where would you look for a text that speaks of God as creator? You might think of Genesis 1 and 2. An obvious place. But there are also the creation psalms, like Psalms 19 and 33, 104 and 148. Or there are the last few chapters of Job, where God, the creator, speaks of his own mighty works. It's striking that throughout scripture, God is praised for this marvelous activity of creating, from the first book of the Bible to the very last. Consider the song of the 24 elders in heaven, which we hear in Revelation 4. You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. Verse 11. God only created once. And scripture says that he really was finished everything in 6 days. But being the creator remains central in who God is in his glory. God created when only he existed, when there was no material available for him to use. The Catechism emphasizes that God, out of nothing, created heaven and earth. It wasn't simply that the canvas was blank or that the clay was unformed. There was no canvas and there was no clay. He started from scratch. Does that matter? It shows only that only God is eternal. In the beginning, there was only him. So to all that we can see with our eyes today, the blue sky, the trees, the person in the mirror this morning, all this and everything only came into existence because God created. Psalm 90 sings to the Lord, before the mountains were born, or before you brought forth the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Verse 2. But God spoke, and it came into existence. That's the refrain of Genesis, day after day. And God said, let there be, and there was. Let there be, and there was. Scripture says that God's word alone accomplished it. Maybe you have used Siri or Alexa or some other speech-based program. Somehow it can make your words feel really powerful. Siri, put on my favorite organ music. Alexa, dim the lights in the living room. And she does. You think of all the programming that had to happen for this to be possible. Our words simply cannot command and create like God's words can. By speaking, God's word made it all, even the greatest heights of creation. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. Psalm 33, verse 6. That was one way of creating. But God made us by a different method. He formed mankind of dust from the ground, and he breathed into our nostrils the breath of life. We are even created in God's image, the crown of his world and the object of his special love. Psalm 33 says about mankind, God fashions their hearts individually. Psalm 33, verse 15. God made all and God maintains all. That's the second half of God the Father's word, described in the Catechism. It's about how God governs and upholds the universe. Psalm 33 puts it this way. He gathers the waters of the sea together in a heap. He lays up the deep in storehouses. Verse 7. That is to say, God keeps it all in its proper place. The sea over here, the lava down there, the weather, the nations, they only move at his command. Sometimes we like to pretend that we have a little bit of control over a little corner in this life. We think we've found a niche where we are in charge. Maybe within our home, we set the rules, we say what's what. Maybe at work, where we're the boss, or where we're essential to things getting done. Or outside in the garden, that's our domain, to make it grow and keep it green. Or perhaps we've got every hour of our day planned out and scheduled on our smartphone or some other agenda. We like to manage things. We like to say, we have to manage this problem, manage this outcome. We have to manage this discussion. We're in control. It's an illusion. No part of life is our domain. But it's under God's direction every moment because it's his creation. And God reminds us of this reality, sometimes on a big scale. Like when a small virus turns the whole world upside down. Sometimes he reminds us of his control on a tiny scale, like when we've got a big weekend planned, and suddenly we get sick and have to stay home and get nothing done. We're not in control after all. He makes the plans of the people to no effect, says Psalm 33, verse 10 to 11. But the counsel of the Lord stands forever. And the Lord has a special purpose for his creation. And that brings us to our second question. God our Father created the heavens and the earth. Why? So why did God create the universe? We don't know exactly what God was thinking. And certainly God didn't have to create. The Father, Son, and the Spirit have each other, and they are perfectly one, united in everlasting love. Yet they were pleased to make this world and to make us. And God even speaks about why he created. He reveals the grand purpose, that all of it must glorify his name. Sing to the Lord, all the earth, says Psalm 96, verse 1. Have you ever heard the earth sing to the Lord? Have you ever heard the trees of the field clap their hands, or the morning stars sing for joy? Creation sings whenever it testifies to his majesty. And again, God says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Psalm 150. That is their purpose. And that is our purpose. If you want some perspective on your little life and the problems you have, God says, take a look at what I have done in the world. See my strength. See my authority. See my wisdom. See my faithfulness. Look at the creation and see what an awesome God I am. There sounds forth every day a powerful witness to the God who created all things. Who could have made all of this out of nothing? And who could sustain it day after day for endless years? Psalm 33 speaks about God's creation. It also tells us how we must respond. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. Verse 8. God wants his creation to inspire awe in human hearts. He wants each and every one of us to say, what is man that you are mindful of him? Psalm 8. Let all the earth fear the Lord. And God expects this especially from those who bear his image. God says in Isaiah 43 verse 7 that we are the ones who are called by his name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. We are on this earth for a purpose. We are not accidents of biology or worthless blobs of tissue. God has given us this earth, and he has put us on this earth so that we can live for his glory. We often need that reminder. It's a corrective that we have to hear regularly. Why are you here? What's the purpose of your life? God did not create you for your own benefit. Yet this is exactly what we sometimes like to do. We use God's world in selfish ways, in me-centered ways. We corrupt God's good gifts, like when we live for food and drink. Or we let health and fitness become our purpose. Or we put our children on a pedestal. Or we let our job become our identity. Or our cars, or friends, or productivity to become our reason for living. But God says, I called you by my name and I created you for my glory. This comes out also in the passage we read from 1 Timothy 6. Paul warns us there against the desire to be rich and against the love of money. God put us in a world where we can work and earn and acquire, but God did not create us to devote our lives to the pursuit of wealth. Do not be haughty, nor trust in uncertain riches. Verse 17, getting rich is not why you are here. It does not mean that we have to reject material things and that we have to live as beggars. Paul affirms that it is God himself who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Verse 17. Underline that. We can enjoy them. We don't have to be without joy on this earth. We don't have to feel guilty when there is something in God's creation that gives us pleasure in a lawful way. But we should make sure that we are using everything towards God's great purpose. Though I have so much, am I still putting my trust in the living God? With everything that I've been given, am I humbly showing God my thanks? And am I using God's gifts to benefit others? Am I being generous to the needy? Am I caring for those who struggle? Scripture says, let them do good, that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share. 1 Timothy 6 verse 18. If we are rich with God's gifts, are we also rich in good works? Because God made everything, all of it must be put to work for God and for his kingdom. The third question we ask is, therefore, God our Father created the heavens and the earth. So what does this all mean? Why does it matter? Believing in God as creator provides us with rich comfort in so many different ways. In the first place, when we accept the Bible's account of creation, we confess that our God is truly eternal. There was nothing before him. There is nothing after him. God owes his existence to no one, for he made all. This means that our God will never fade away. As Scripture says of Christ, God is the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Confessing God as creator, there is a second important truth. It means we confess his independence. That is, when God created, he didn't need anything. He didn't need anyone. He could do it all himself from start to finish. And still today, that is what our God is like. God is not dependent on the circumstance of our cooperation. He is free to do what he wants, when he wants, in the way that he wants to do it. Not that God is some tyrant. God the Creator is also good and gracious. God the Lord is sovereign. This truth means he's able to transform any situation here on earth. He can give healing. He can provide for physical needs. He can protect us from harm. He can work miracles. God can, because this universe is his to command. And flowing from that confession is the fact that God, the Creator, is almighty. He has all the power. He who created the whole world out of nothing in the short span of 6 days is surely able to give us strength for every one of our days. The Almighty God can give me the strength to resist temptation. He can give me the strength to persevere during a difficult period of life. He can give strength for you to serve in your family. He can give whatever strength we need because he is almighty. Through our confession of God as creator, we also find comfort in the power of his word. For in the beginning, God spoke, and it came to pass. The oceans, the mountains, the planets, they all listened to what God had to say. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. Psalm 33, verse 6. As God is almighty, so his word is almighty. And the truth is that God's word has not decreased in power. In Genesis 1, God spoke into the darkness of nothingness, and there came light. Today, God speaks into the darkness of our sinful lives, And again, there is a miracle, for God brings light. There comes the light of faith, the light of knowing God. His word still has that creating power every time. So when we read the scriptures, when we listen to them, we must understand that these words have the power to save us. We should actually expect this. Instead of reading God's word carelessly or thoughtlessly, remember that these words have the power to change us. These words have the power to work faith in our hearts. Not because of the person who is preaching, not because of our wisdom when we're reading. The word is the power because it comes from God. He spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. Psalm 33 verse 9. If we remember the purpose of God's creation, we find another sure comfort. We said, God created this world for his own glory. That means that whatever happens, even when awful things occur, know that God's plan stands firm. Tragedies and disasters and the troubles of ordinary life don't mean that God has given up to control to Satan for a while, or that God has suddenly become unpredictable. Through every event, God's purpose remains. The counsel of God stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations. Psalm 33 verse 11. And in God's purpose, we find our purpose. For even in the modest circumstances of our small lives, we fit within God's grand plan. The events we go through on this earth are in fact never pointless. They might be hard, they might be disappointing or burdensome, but they're never random or futile. Actually, all of them are to serve to bring praise to the living God. And what is better than that? All of this means that God the Creator is a God we can trust. He is eternal. He is sovereign. He is almighty. He is beyond anything we can imagine. Yet God the Creator is not beyond our reach, for we can put our trust in him. This is the good news that the Catechism puts before us. After speaking of how God the Father created out of nothing heaven and earth and all that is in them, and how he still upholds and governs them, it makes a beautiful confession. We affirm that in this almighty and glorious God, I trust so completely, for he is not a distant and detached creator, but he is the Lord, the one who can do all things for our good and for our salvation. The confession of God as creator is profound. See how it's also the climax of Psalm 33. After exulting in the great works of God and in his mighty words, there comes this prayer of faith. Our soul waits for the Lord, for he is our help and shield. For our hearts shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Verse 20 and 21. We can wait for him. We can rejoice in him. We can trust in his holy name, for he is our help and shield. Says Lord's Day 9, in him I trust so completely as to have no doubt that he will provide me with all things necessary for body and soul. It's also for this reason that we confess Psalm 124 verse 8 at the beginning of every worship service. All year long, year after year, we say, our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Because, what is the implication of that? If God created the heavens and the earth and all that is in them, what is there that he cannot do? What is there that he will not do for his people in Christ? Our help is in his name. The people of God come to church with troubles on their minds and hearts. To different degrees, we've probably all experienced hardships or even perhaps sorrows in the past week. Looking ahead, the coming week might have its challenges. So we come to church, seeking God's encouragement. We come to church, praying for forgiveness and for cleansing. We are here to get help. The church is not a museum full of perfected believers, a gallery of good-looking saints who have it all together. No, it's a hospital full of those seeking help. And we start by confessing that our great helper is the one who made heaven and earth. It's actually how every day of every week of every year of our lives ought to begin. Not just on Sundays, but the beginning of every day. At the beginning, look to God in a spirit of worship. Tomorrow, as you start another day of work or another day of study or whatever else, make it your Psalm 124 confession. My help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Today, he can save me. Today, he can provide for me. He can, and he will. For our God is the creator of heaven and earth. And he is our Father for the sake of Christ. So I will trust in him and I will glorify his great name. Amen. Let's sing from Psalm 33, verses 1, 2, and 6. Also pray for Brother Johan Bron, who has sustained an injury to his hand and is currently awaiting surgery. Let's pray and thank the Lord. Our merciful Lord, we come before your holy throne. Thank you that we know you as the Creator. And Lord, we do stand in awe when we look at your creation, when we look at the heavens, the sun, moon, and stars, when we think about how they go on and on beyond what we can see, when we think about the intricacy of the organisms on this earth, we think about how it all works together, how you uphold it and sustain it, we are in awe that you spoke and it came into being, and that you continue to uphold it today. Help us indeed, Lord, to take great comfort in knowing that you are eternal, that you are almighty, that you are God, and that you're also our Father in Jesus Christ. Thank you that you bring us your word. And we pray, Lord, that day after day, we do indeed stand in awe. Lord, we pray that you will be near to those who need your care in a special way this week. There are many people suffering from many things. And we especially bring to you this afternoon Brother Johan Bron. Pray, bless the medical staff who operate on his hand. Pray that they will be able to do what is required. And that will also give him what he needs to continue his tasks moving forward. We pray above all that he will have patience and trust in you. Lord, we pray for our church. We pray that you bless us together as a communion of saints, that we love each other, that we reach out and care for each other. Also, as we heard again this afternoon, that we use the good gifts that you gave us to help one another. Lord, we pray that you help us with that. We pray that you bless the office bearers, give them what they need in their tasks, wisdom, patience, strength, the strength of your spirit. We pray for Reverend Hart, who is wrapping things up in his current congregation. Bless him in the coming months as he does that, and as he can look forward to taking up his task here in Southern River soon. We thank you that you care for us and provide for us in so many ways. We pray, Lord, as we go about our daily tasks again tomorrow, that we indeed come before your throne and confess that our help is in your name, the name of God who made the heavens and the earth, our God. Help us to trust in you and to love you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Your offerings will now be collected this afternoon for the mission work in PNG. After that, let's stand and sing a hymn of praise, hymn 78. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.